to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's how this thing works. And if you have a NLT or NASB, I think it says, as a friend sharpens another. Okay. So in either case, it's helping each other out. In the studio with me today to help deal with this topic that we're going to just start off with, and we'll probably finish, and you guys are going to walk away saying, wow, that's the answer. Now, I doubt if we'll get it all done today. But Joel is in the, is in the studio with me.
I'm in
today.
The Lord.
Yeah. And you're in the studio. And that's a good thing. Good to have you here, bro.
Good to be here.
All right. So we have a topic today that we're going to be talking about here momentarily is on fear. And I had, it was kind of funny this morning, you had sent that to me last night. We had talked last night. I said, oh yeah, not a problem. And of course, you know, long days and so on and so forth. I'm using an excuse here of being over 40.
That's what it really is. Yeah.
All of a sudden I sat there and I'm going, okay, we're talking about faith this morning, right?
That's what we're talking about.
That's the answer. But we're going to end up talking about fear. And so we're going to dip into that here momentarily. But we want to always kick off with a little bit of encouragement for you guys who are listening. And we know, by the way, that we have we have some women that listen in because they like to find out what their husbands or what their significant others might be desiring, especially hearing about what men are thinking and what's going on. So we call those women stealthy women. But we know we have a few of those listening in too. But we talk primarily to the men. So as far as encouragement, Joel, have you got anything that you want to encourage these guys about?
I do.
Today's
encouragement comes from Isaiah 49:16.
Okay.
Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Lord talking to the Israelites. You know, he's saying, your name is right there on the palm of my hands. I will never forget you.
Yes.
I mean, that's just so comforting to know in our times of trouble that the Lord has not forgotten us. He hasn't written our names on a piece of paper that maybe fell out of his pocket when he pulled out his wallet or something like that. No, our names are on the palms of his hands.
Yes.
He will always remember us.
Yes.
And it is proven when he sent his son Jesus to die for us.
Yes.
Our sins were nailed through his hands.
Hmm. Amen. Amen. So the good thing is that we end up knowing once we become followers of Christ, we get reminded by being with others that we are carrying him within us. And in doing so, that means that we have access to him 24/7, right?
All the time.
We forget so often sometimes. Take it for granted, don't we?
We do.
All of a sudden, our life, we'd get going on our day, et cetera, and all of a sudden, before we know it, it's noon, and I've been frustrated and maybe even angry a few times before noon, and I'm going, man, what is up with that?
We're human.
Yes, we're human, but we also are, in some cases, we get so caught up in our habits and the ways that we do things. You know, one of the things I think is so important is reminding ourselves or reminding each other, in a sense, that we are being renewed each and every day.
And that's what we need. We need someone there to remind us.
Yes.
Because it's really hard to remind ourselves, the Lord loves me.
Yeah.
You know, but when you hear it from someone else, it feels really good. So if there's someone out there today that the Lord puts upon your heart to remind them that the Lord loves them, just give them a call.
Yes.
Send them a text. Let them know the Lord loves them. Let them know the Lord has engraved their names on the palm of his hands.
And one of the cool things about that sort of ideal as far as being able to talk or help somebody else is that the Lord takes care of both of you at the same time. As a matter of fact, it ends up usually coming back. We don't do it for that reason that we're going to get something back from them, but usually it takes place. We end up realizing that, if nothing else, that I'm fulfilling what Lord's will is in my life.
Amen.
By letting these individuals know that they are loved and they are cared for, and that he does not turn away from us. It's usually us turning away from him or not acknowledging his presence. So, all right, which kind of leads right into this part that you wanted to talk about. And fear is, there's so many ways of looking at it and stuff. Everything from, you know, what are we going to do next, to a fear of not only of God. Sometimes it's not a reverent fear. It's a physical fear of his wrath, in a sense. And fear of the devil, and that's the way that I was raised. I was fear of both God and the devil. And so I was always running, man. I was always running as a kid, it seemed like. But is there a certain area that you wanted to kind of hit today, or you want to, how about some clarification on some of this
stuff?
So
the Bible speaks of two kinds of fear. Mm-hmm. Fear of the Lord, that's a good kind of fear. And then fear of everything else, fear of man, stresses, fear of the world, anxiety, that's the fear I want to touch on.
Okay, just so that if we're going to go that route, the fear of the Lord is not a literal fear.
No, it's a reverent fear.
Yes.
To bow before him in awe and wonder and worship.
Of his glory and who he is and what he's done and will be doing in our lives when we allow him to do that.
That's the key word. We have to allow him to.
Yeah. Be willing to let him have his way with us. So anyway, so we want to talk about this other one that the world throws at us, right?
It throws at us, you know, whether it be a lack of a job, a lack of loved ones. You know, you're worried about your health, you're worried about losing your job, you're worried about losing your family. The world throws fear. I mean, there's fear of terrorism now.
Yes.
There's fear in
leaving
politics.
Your home.
Yeah. I can't leave my home. Something's going to happen to me. I'll get in a car wreck. Someone will shoot up a mall. It is horrible. It's everywhere.
Yes.
And I have lived my entire life in fear.
Yes.
I came to that revelation just this week that my entire life I have been living in fear.
Yeah.
But I didn't exhibit what you would see as the signs of fear. I wasn't hiding in a closet afraid to go outside.
Yeah, it's so true.
No, I was living in control of everything. I had a fear that if I wasn't in control of something, it was going to go wrong.
Yes.
And I was raised that way.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it happen when my older brother died. Mm-hmm. My parents lived in fear of what would happen to me and my younger brother.
Yes.
And so one parent tried to shelter us, and hence that caused me to rebel against it. It caused my brother to become antisocial.
Mm-hmm.
My father, instead of trying to shelter me, tried to give me anything I wanted, tried to be lenient with me.
Mm.
Well, since I was rebelling and he was being lenient, I got away with a lot of stuff.
Yes.
With light discipline, which was not a good thing, because then I didn't realize there were consequences to my actions.
Real consequences.
Real consequences until later on in life.
Right, right.
So,
and that's almost in some cases where, you know, you realize that, oh, my consequences, there's probably, they would be greater today because of your age, because all these years have gone by. The consequence would be greater in your life today, more impacting. It would be worse, in a sense, than if it were when you were younger, or maybe a swat on the butt, or maybe something taken away for a while, might have got your attention then to realize that if I go down this path, it may not be the best.
Might land me in jail or something like that.
Today, that's exactly what.
Praise God, I never did land in jail.
Yes, yes. So. All right, we won't say not yet either, because we'll just say that we think a day at a time you're going to be okay as long as you keep doing what you're doing right now.
Amen.
So anyway, so with this. The world is throwing at us. The world we know belongs to the enemy, correct?
Correct.
I mean, that's what Scripture reminds us. Say, hey, this is not, yes, God created the physical earth, right? The beauty of the earth and all of that. But of the world, this is the devil's domain. This is Satan's domain. This is all, and I tell you what, the world, the way that it is, it attracts us to be able to receive comfort, or maybe even not be as fearful if you do this, if you do that. If you get this in your life, or you become like this, you won't have these other feelings, right? It's almost like a prescription, okay? Now, that's another totally different topic, prescription drugs, right, type of thing. But we look for that easier, softer way of being able to deal with life on life's terms, so to speak. And so the way we do it is by going about what is actually thrown at us, right?
Yeah.
In a sense, so.
And so we live life in fear. The Bible tells us not to.
Yes.
Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you mm-hmm. wherever you go."
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's great to read that, but you have to live that out. And if you don't live that out, you're going to have some problems in your life.
Yes.
As I have showed with my life, mm-hmm. I have had problems. I have had fear of not being in control. I've had fear for my health. I've had fear for my loved ones that something bad is going to happen to them. I've had a lot of death in my life.
Yes.
So now Satan's constantly there. Well, you know, your daughter might die or your son might die. What's going to happen when you're not home, when you go to work?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave the house. You know, I might see someone walking down the street. I'd be like, oh, now I'm worried. Are they going to break? I need to call my wife. I need to make sure everything's okay.
Yes.
And it's not a common sense type of thing. They weren't doing anything shady. They were just right. walking down the street.
Right.
And yet the enemy's right there.
Sure.
Telling me to be afraid.
Right. Right.
Yet the Lord is saying, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Be the opposite of afraid.
And when we get back to this controlling attitude or personality or defect of character, however you want to say it, and I'm not talking about you because I'm the same way, okay, that so often we sit there. I mean, I can't tell you how often we leave the house in the car, right, and go down the hill, and I get down to the bottom of the hill. I said, did I close the garage door? Because my imagination tells me that if I left it open, that's a welcome open door for anybody to come in, including mice or rats, right?
Yeah.
And my wife hates those things, and I do too. But
we
anyway,
all do.
So I sit there and I go, oh. So there have been many times when I've actually
turned around,
came back, and it was closed because I do things out of habit sometimes like everybody else. But the point is that the fear was there. That something is going to take place that I don't have control over, and it could cause harm or discomfort or in our lives as a result of not having it closed or whatever that might be.
Yeah.
But this controlling attitude is really something about – there's something about that. No different than when we think of driving in foul weather, right, whether it's snowy or and icy and that sort of thing. Do we – you know – we become more cautious, I guess, in a sense, right? But then sometimes too cautious.
Well, there's a common sense, maybe drive a little bit slower on the snow and stuff like that. But we do. We become paranoid of everyone else out there.
Yes.
You know, are they going to drive safe?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I can do everything I can, but you can't stop something else,
yes.
someone else,
yes.
from getting into a wreck with you. But that's not a reason to live in fear.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's so funny. You had mentioned the way that you were brought up, too. My brother and I were brought up. My dad was fearful of everything. He did not want anything to happen to his boys, okay? And so they tried to hold tight reins on us. And all that we did as boys is, of course, every opportunity we could is to go just the opposite. What is beyond this hill? Or what is on the other side if I make this decision? What is going to take place there? If I do this, what is it that he's trying to keep me from? You know, because most of the time he said, I just don't want you to do that because I'm looking out for your best interest.
Yeah.
What's going to take my interest away, or, you know, what's going to cause it to go sideways, you know?
And sometimes as kids, we have to find that out on our own.
Yes.
You know, but the harder that our parents hold on to us,
yes.
you know, the more we're going to push away.
So often we end up kind of emulating our own parents sometimes raising us. We go, I know that for myself, I didn't want to have to ever raise my kids the way that I was raised. And so I almost did just the opposite. And there is a middle ground there, you know. Could almost go to extremes, right? Either totally black or totally white, you know.
There is a middle ground. So my parents hold on too tight. So what do? I rebel.
Yes.
I get in trouble. Bad stuff happens to me. By the grace of God, I made it through alive in a couple of situations. Mm-hmm. Well, now I have that fear. Well, I did all this stuff, and look, only by the grace of God, I don't want my daughter to go through that. So I'm going to hold on tight. I don't want my son to go through that. I'm going to hold on tight. I'm not going to let bad stuff happen to them.
Yes.
Well, that's just repeating the cycle.
Yes.
The cycle has to end.
Yes.
You need to end that cycle. You need to break that cycle of fear in your life and what it's going to do to others around you, because it doesn't affect just you.
Right. And, you know, and that's so true, because everything about us are decisions that we make, especially as adults, more as adults than we were as children. But even as children, it can actually keep us recluse from others, you know, because we feel that we're different or unique and nobody's going to understand us. And I don't want somebody to know this about me. All of those things right through middle school and into high school and even to the point where you use your defects of character, what your fears are and how you deal with them, you use those as a means of attracting others, say, showing off or trying to be funny. And it's not very funny to anybody, but we don't know how to deal with it in a certain sense. So it comes across awkwardly in a sense. So we end up, I know that I was raised in a home where my parents at the church were raised Catholic, okay? And so there was in the whole family, both my mother's side, my father's side. So it was through, I mean, that was part of what you were, you know? You were a Catholic and you were a Democrat, you know, all the same, right? So what ended up taking place, okay, is I had this fear as a young child because so many things were thrown at me that if you don't hit your cousin that way, and definitely don't hit your aunt or whatever, because your arm will shrivel up, right? There are all these things that were said to us, and we thought, ooh, what if she's right? Ooh, my arm feels a little like it's getting, you know. There's just all this stuff, right? You start having this fear, and you start living your life around trying to avoid this or being a certain way. And yet that's all you knew because they're older. So they must be wiser. They must know what's going on. My dad tells me, don't go any further than this because bad things will happen. Well, what are those bad things? You know, I don't know what those are, other than he just hoping that the fear will keep me and my brother at home and we wouldn't go any out, venture out, right?
And some people it does.
Yeah.
Like I told you, my brother.
Yep.
So my mom bought him all the video games he ever wanted to keep him at home so he wouldn't go out and get hit by a car like my older brother did.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What does he do now? When he's not working, he stays at home and plays video games.
Yeah.
Antisocial. Doesn't get out much. Doesn't talk. You know. Whereas me is the opposite. It's like, well, bad things are going to happen. I want to find out what that is. What are they talking about, bad things? What are these things?
There you go. Well, I tell you what. Let's take a break. Let's come back from the break, and let's talk about some of these things of maybe ways that we can start looking at it a little bit differently. Maybe there are some guys who are listening who actually have never ventured down this thought of what maybe this is a fear I have. That's why I keep doing what I'm doing. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Joel and Raul in the studio, and we're not being fearful. We want to just talk about it because we believe that when we bring something into the light, especially if it has anything to do with sin or darkness, it will actually dissipate. It'll vanish from the area because light and darkness, they don't mix, right?
According
to Scripture. And light is resembles, or as we talk about, according to the Bible, that God is light, okay? And darkness is the enemy, Satan, the world, all of the things that are trying to attract us away from. You know, becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, now all of a sudden what we thought, now I don't have to worry about temptations or any of those things, it seems to have increased, has it not?
It has.
I mean, there are too many guys who all of a sudden say, hey, you know, I've not felt that way. And if you have not felt that way, it's only because you're still in your honeymoon stages, right, of faith in a sense, right? Because the reality is that you become a target, okay? And that's where I believe that so often, again, what is important is that we remember that it's through our weaknesses that his strength is perfected.
Amen.
And that's where we have to actually rely on him and go to him. Now, faith is the solution, there's no doubt. But there are so many things that in our own fears that we are brought up with, or fears that maybe we've drummed up ourselves as a result of our experiences, that we can affect our family. I mean, maybe we're in a marriage, you know, and maybe we're in a marriage with children, and it affects them.
It does. It really does. You know, I've had so much death in my life that I'm now afraid of losing my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? I have a fear that something bad is going to happen to my kids when I leave the house.
Yeah.
So I have a fear that my wife is not a good enough wife,
mm-hmm.
that she's going to do something and she's going to be the cause of their death.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm telling her she does it wrong. You need to do this. You need to do this. That's not safe. Do this. Well, that causes tension in my marriage. I'm not trusting my wife to be a good mother.
Yes.
Because I'm living in fear that she's not a good enough mother.
Yes.
When the Lord has created her to be a good mother.
Yes.
But my fear is overwhelming me.
And that's so often. I tell you what, I applaud your courage to even share that. And I know that she, if she's listening, she's going, okay, that's... she already knows this about you. I know you probably shared that with her. But so often as men, we don't want to acknowledge fear because that makes us seem weak, right?
It makes us seem like we're afraid, like we're cowards.
Yes, and that we're not manly enough.
No, we want to look brave, strong, courageous,
yes.
like the Bible tells us to.
Right, right. And yet we want to do that on our own power. We want people to, maybe it's subconsciously, but we want acknowledgement of that power. We want to be able people to know that, hey, I've got it. I'm connected. You know, I may not be powerful in myself, but I've got the Lord with me. And so everything that I say and do is exactly what he wants me to do, right?
Well, you see, you said something there that's true. I have the Lord with me.
Yes.
Joshua 1:9, when he tells you to be strong and courageous, it's because the Lord is with you wherever you go.
Yes.
But
yes.
we need to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And
yep.
sometimes we need to lay down control
mm-hmm.
and give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're still living in fear.
Yes. Yes.
That it's not going to get done. It's not going to happen. Something bad's going to happen if we don't do it.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
maybe we need to have courage and faith in the Lord and what he's going to do.
And so often, and it's not about becoming naive to the world and the challenges that the world have. In other words, your child, who's a toddler, you go to the grocery store or to any store where they've got a basket with a seat for the child to sit in at the on the top, you're going to put them in that because they're under your control there, right?
Yeah.
Or if you just are naive and just think that your child's going to follow you through the store because I'm dad, that's not going to happen. That child is going to see things that it wants to go touch and feel and walk away.
Well, that's why they make child leashes now.
Yes.
Yes, you see those everywhere. You just put a leash on them.
One of the funniest things I remember seeing, and this is years and years ago, I think when they first came out, I think I was at a fair, like a state fair or something. It was something that was where there were a lot of people. And I saw two kids who actually got tangled in their own. Two different mothers, two different families, right? The two kids got tangled up with the leash, you know. The other parent didn't notice it until tried to pull it off. Said, whoa, whoa. And they were laughing. It was kind of hilarious. But it truly is. It's like all these leashes everywhere. But in a certain sense, but that's part of what we end up doing. We want our children, sometimes they're affected, like you said, where we become too protective, okay? And how do we know the difference, whether it's too protective or when we need to allow them to be able to venture and to know that they have their own identity or, in a sense, or their own walk, that they've got to check things out?
Yeah, and so there's a difference. Am I being fearful or am I just using common sense? When you
yes.
put your kid in the
mm-hmm.
car
mm-hmm.
and you buckle them up,
yes.
are you being fearful an accident's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Or is that just common sense, an accident's mm-hmm. going to happen, I want them to be safe?
Yes.
Well, I think you can start to see the difference. When you start buckling your child up, there's no adverse
yes.
effects to that.
Right.
But when you start being fearful to the point to where it affects your family, you will notice the negative effects
yes.
that it has on your family.
Yes.
Then you know, maybe I'm doing something that's not common sense, but that it's just unwarranted fear.
Yes, yes. So versus the guy who says, oh, just jump in the back seat, don't worry about it type of thing, and it will be okay because I was raised this way. None of us ever buckled up, and we're here. That's sort of naive also, right?
It is, yeah. You're here by the grace of God.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yes, yes.
But, yeah, you know, they came out with seatbelts for a reason. And you know what? I've had my daughter buckled up in a vehicle. My wife has gotten in an accident.
Yes.
Just a little fender bender, but my daughter was buckled up. Had she not been buckled up,
yes.
she probably would have, you know, had her face
created
in the
some,
seat in front of her.
Some injury of some sort,
yeah.
yes.
And
yeah.
so that's just common sense.
Right.
There was
right.
no negative effects. There is no negative effects by my daughter buckling up. She
yes.
loves to buckle herself up now.
Yes.
Now she's still four, so common sense says, I look back and I make sure
yes.
she's buckled up. That's fine.
Or you listen for the click.
Yeah,
right?
You listen for the click.
Okay.
Make sure she does it properly.
Yeah. I always, when I have the grandchildren, I always say back there, okay, we're buckled in, right? I just want to make sure that the click was a solid click, you know?
Yeah.
Without having to look back and thinking that they can't do it. Because they get to a certain age, they want to be able to do it to show that they're big enough, right?
Yep.
I'm big enough to be able to do this by myself. I don't need your help, Daddy or Papa.
And so buckling up is common sense, but it can turn into a fear, whereas as they get old enough, yeah. you won't let them do it because you're afraid that they're not going to do it properly.
Yes.
What
yes.
are they going to do? They're going to rebel against that
yes.
because you're not letting them do it.
Yeah.
Then they might not want to wear their seatbelts. When you start noticing those negative effects,
mm-hmm.
maybe then you've been too fearful.
Yes, yes. So I don't know why, but I think about the story of Jesus as a young man, where Joseph and Mary were in town, and they left town with the caravan after they've done the census and everything, and then they realize after they've been gone for a while that Jesus isn't with them. You know, was that naive on their part? Was that an assumption? I know that, yes, it could be that that was prophecy that was supposed to take place. I get that. But I'm just saying, in a sense, I think of that story. I mean, so were Joseph and Mary, what do you think? Were they?
I don't think they were back then. It was very common to think that, well, maybe my son's with, you know, his cousins or something like that.
Because they're all going together.
They're all going together.
They all leave together.
You know,
yeah.
they didn't need to count heads
yes.
every time back then.
So how often do we look at it now today? I mean, I don't think there's a parent around that hasn't experienced having their child who's 4 years old in, you know, as they're looking at something in the store, and all of a sudden they run off, especially in the clothes store, where they have these little circular things with the clothes hangers around it and with something on it. The kids would hide there, right?
Yeah.
Hide from mom and dad.
And they think it's a game.
They think, exactly.
They're sitting right? there giggling while the parents are worried, running
okay.
around trying to
all
find
of us
associate.
Raise a hand who's ever gotten upset with your kid for doing that, right?
Right
you
here.
Know? I'm telling you, all of us, I think at one point or another, we sit there because all of a sudden that sense of, what happened? Because somebody take them? You know, that, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, okay, I don't need to panic yet. Don't need to panic yet. And then all of a sudden, you hear different people react different ways. You know, when you hear somebody, a mother's yell out for their child's name, you know what took place. As a parent with experience of having done that, you know that they probably lost their child.
Yeah.
You know?
In my opinion, in a situation like that, it's common sense to not want your child to wander off into a crowd of strangers.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's not unwarranted fear.
Right.
That's common sense there.
Yes, yes. But those are things, I mean, we're not perfect at being able to do everything. And yet we're going to have learning experiences, okay, to be able to go through. And these are sometimes some of those that do end up going through. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's finish up with this break here. And we'll come back and talk about some of the things that we can do to overcome or to be able to really have a handle more on having less fear in our lives. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
God, how I believe that I can push back the mountain. Can stand on the waves. I can see through the darkness. I'll hold up a flame. Take me to the ocean. I want to go deeper. Well, I'm not afraid, though. I'm a believer.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. We are in the final minutes here of the topic on fear, that we've hit a certain specific area about how the world continually bombards our heads. It comes through our eyes. It comes through our hearing, right, of being able to receive these things that would cause fear. Now, the dictionary says on fear, and I just Googled this, says meaning of fear. Okay, so it's not faith-based, but this it truly is what fear is all about. As a noun, it's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or threat. Okay? So I like this because in a certain sense, this tells us what the answer is to the opposite of fear. Okay? Because it says here, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous.
There you
okay?
go.
Belief. So,
there you go.
Go ahead.
So what's your belief going to be in,
yes.
I think is, you know, the question you need to ask yourself.
Exactly.
You know, if you're, Jesus commands us, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So what he's telling you is you don't need to constantly live your life in worry. You know, what's the day's going to come. The Lord has it planned out, and he knows what's going to happen.
Yes.
You need to think about the here and now. You need to worry about living a life for the Lord. But, I mean, it's, how do we do that?
Right.
You know, how do we not worry about tomorrow.
Yes.
If you're having financial troubles, how do we not worry about paying rent next week?
Well, you know, that comes right back down to the simple thing we talked about in James, okay? That faith without works is dead, okay? Now, works itself is not what that doesn't give us salvation, okay? But if we've actually accepted the Lord, okay, as our Lord and as our Savior, we accepted Jesus, we actually are in a different position whether we realize it or not. Maybe we don't recall. Maybe we need to remember who we are and whose we are. We are His, okay? He created us for a reason and a purpose. And it isn't to have a, you know, this spirit of fear in our lives, okay? He mentioned something, and I just went blank and went right by it somewhere here.
Spirit of fear?
Yeah. Let's see.
2 Timothy 1:7.
That's the one. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. Now we sit there and go, wow. So He didn't give this to me. Okay, so if it didn't come from the Lord, it came from the enemy.
Yes.
Right? So right off the bat, here He tells us, okay, Paul's talking to Timothy and reminding us, saying, hey, listen, fear comes from the enemy. It doesn't come from God, okay? But if we believe in God, if we bring the light into our lives, right, there's going to be less fear. It only makes sense, right? I mean, for those of us who are willing to look at it that way, but sometimes we're not always willing to do the things that are necessary to feel better, do we?
Yeah, you know, as children of God, we're not supposed to live in fear. I've accepted Jesus into my life. I know I'm saved, and yet I still have fear. So how do I solve that problem? Psalm 34, starting at verse 4, says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6 goes on to say, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him.
Yes.
And delivers them.
What's the address that you just read from?
So that was Psalm 34. Mm-hmm. That was verse 4, 6, and 7.
There you go. That's something good to have at hand in your Bible, especially if you're if you have a Bible in your car or in your truck, wherever you're traveling, and you have some of these things highlighted. Brother, when you're in the midst of something, I don't know about anybody else, but if you have a long drive, sometimes we think way too much. And yes, I may be listening to music, but sometimes the thinking can drown out even the music sometimes if there's enough fear, right?
Yeah, yeah. It, you know, one of the things that really touches me there is it says, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
Yes.
So when I'm living in fear, I can look back in the past for times that I should have rightly been afraid.
Yes.
And yet the Lord saved me. You know, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him.
Yes.
It was God who saved me. It was God who pulled me out of that situation.
Yes.
And now I'm here in this situation, which, if I were to compare the two, is nothing compared to the other.
Yes, yes.
So if God can get me through that, He can easily get me through this.
But sometimes we have a built-in forgetter, right? We forget about those things and those times when God did have His hand in the midst, or we noticed it, we recognized it, even acknowledged it one time, but we forget about that at certain times, right?
So we're men. We have selective hearing. We also have selective remembering.
Selective remembering. Oh, but those are tough deals. That's part of just being who we are, that we do that sort of thing. That's why we continually say to stay in fellowship. You know, we can't do this thing by ourselves. Yes, we want the Lord, and yes, so often it's not a bad thing for you to say, oh, it's me and the Lord, but, you know, the Lord actually puts people in our lives for a reason. He wants us to gather together in unity to be able to know that as a unit, okay, you can overcome so much more than you can by yourself. He says a cord of three is not easily broken, right? So when you're actually, as many of us, when we were married, that was brought up as one of the analogies of marriage, okay? That the cord of three is my wife, myself, and Jesus, right? And so often we forget about that sort of thing, that I need to sometimes go to her, and sometimes that's where the problem lies, It's that I don't want her to think that I don't know.
Yeah.
My pride gets in the way so often here in the fear act of, or the fear arena, I should say.
You're the man. You're supposed to have all the answers. You're supposed to take care of her.
Yes.
Well, I can't go and tell her that I'm afraid.
Yes.
What would she think of me?
Yeah, yeah. Because, and it's what we think of ourselves. It's really what it comes down to. And we need to throw that aside. And how do we throw that aside? Well, we get into the Word of God, and that's what we're trying to do here, by giving you verses where it actually says certain things to overcome these fears. Because when we start getting into the Word, our Lord loves us, and He wants the very best for us. And so in doing so, we want to acknowledge that by actually doing what He says.
Yeah.
Being obedient.
You know, I mean, do you love your wife? Does your wife love you? First John talks about that there is no fear in love.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to be afraid
yes.
to go to your wife.
Yes.
You know, you have a fellow brother in Christ mm-hmm. who loves you. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be afraid to seek that help.
That's right.
To seek those answers. You know, you don't need to be afraid to seek the Lord because He loves you and He wants to save you from your fears.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest fears is the fear that I don't know enough. And people are, what are they going to think of me, of, you know, not knowing that? That's one of the things that I always am trying to be transparent about, to be able to let others know that I don't have all the answers, but I do have some that from my own experiences that have come. Now, I don't know what someone else has to experience to go through to get what they need to get, but I know what I went through. But in sharing that, and that's where the beauty is of fellowship with other men, okay, in ministry. That's part of why God put me where He's put me, okay? That's why He's put you there, okay? And many other men, where you can be an influence on others that are around you. In this case here, when it talks about the men.
Okay? I like to think of it as a jigsaw puzzle. He's given us all a small piece to it, but we need to work together.
Yes, yes. And He's the one that can see the whole picture when it's all completed.
He created it.
Yeah, and He's the one to cut it, right?
Put He's us the one on. To cut it, yeah.
He cut it all up, and so we need to know what our little part is. And if we don't do our part, we can't connect everyone, you know, the other part to it, where maybe the whole picture's not being seen.
He's also holding that most important piece as well.
Ah.
You ever get together, people do a jigsaw puzzle, you sneak away one piece.
Yeah, so, I've never done that.
Oh, you've never done that?
So it's you that does that.
No, it's not me that does that. Of course not. So God's holding that piece.
Okay, so you got any other scriptures here you want to be able to throw out?
I do. I want to share with the men. Not that.
Why not? So, as we end up talking about fear, we know the opposite of fear is faith, okay? And so often, once again, it's back to this belief.
It is. It's back to the belief. You know, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Here's the important part. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. So there's that piece to the puzzle. There's that most important piece to the puzzle. There's that peace of mind. There's that peace in the Lord that you're going to find in Christ Jesus. But you first have to give that request to God. You have to seek Him.
You know, there's one that's really simple in Proverbs. I love Proverbs because there's so many. If there's anything that can pull me out of my funk, in a sense, it's Proverbs. And I go to Proverbs 3:7. "Be not wise in your own eyes." Okay, that's only part of it, right? Right there, it's just telling me that's a whole bunch of stuff right there. "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord." Okay, and that's that reverent fear. Okay, "and turn away from evil." And it's like, wait a minute, that's too simple. You know, don't be smart. In other words, don't start thinking I have all the answers. I got it all together here. That I need to honor God and thank Him for what He's doing and has been doing in my life, because it's because of Him that's why I am who I am and who I'm going to be. Maybe not even sure who that is. "And turn away from evil." Wow. Sometimes He tells us, like in 2 Timothy 2:22, He says, "Fear or flee the evil desires of youth," right? You have to run away from that stuff sometimes. When the temptation comes, when the fear comes, we turn away from that sort of thing, and we don't acknowledge it. and we seek the Lord. Sometimes when we go opposite of the direction that is fearful, we're actually heading toward Jesus.
And there you go. When he's telling you to flee, he's not telling you to run away scared.
Yes.
You know, he's not telling you to fear fear. You know, he's telling you to turn to him.
Yes.
To give your request to him.
There's that one in the story of Joseph and his brothers toward the end when they didn't know that he was who he was and everything. And he was this guy in charge in Egypt. And all of a sudden, here are his brothers. They're starving. And the dad's back home going, go see if you can get some food. And anyway, so Joseph says to him in Genesis 50:19, but Joseph said to them, do not fear, for I am in the place of God. Okay, so that right there just reminds us that, you know, so often God has to remind us, don't fear me. Okay, Joseph's saying, don't fear me. I'm in the place of God. The angel of the Lord would come at certain times when he came to Mary and when he came to Joseph in a dream, says, do not fear. Jesus said that to the apostles on the water, right, as they're in the boat. They thought it was a ghost. He says, do not fear, you know. He's often letting us know, do not fear.
Yeah, don't live your life afraid.
Yeah.
You know, live in fear of the Lord, but he tells you, do not fear.
Yes.
Because you're supposed to live in reverent awe of him.
And especially when we are living in him, okay, when we're abiding in him. So if we're living a life that is in darkness and we're continuously desiring to give our flesh all that it wants, in a sense, we're going to be in darkness, okay? And as a result of that, that's where we don't sit there and go, okay, you know, I don't have to worry about it because God's going to take care of this. I'll just keep this other area of darkness that I'll keep in. No, he wants you to be obedient to him. That's part of what this is all about, is that if we seek to do his will in our lives and the fear comes in certain times, that's when he all of a sudden is going to say, hey, turn away from this. Or stand firm, whatever it might be at that time. And for us to recollect some of the scripture is a good thing, right?
It is. And, you know, like I said, it's also to remember the times the Lord has gotten you through it.
Yes.
Remember the times you've cried to him and he saved you.
Mm-hmm.
He can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing too big for him to handle. There's nothing too small for him to care about.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. We got, there's another one here.
First Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And so not only do you need to just cast your anxieties on him, but you need to humble yourself before him because he's got you in his hands. He wants to take care of you, but you have to step down off your own throne. You have to open up and you have to be truthful that you're afraid, that you have a fear in your life that you want to overcome.
So often we want to be able to know that there are others that are like me. See, when I'm not gathered with other people, when I'm not listening to other men being transparent, when I'm not in a position where I hear how other men deal with life on life's terms, okay, now I'm not talking about the scene at the bar. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about other men who are like-minded, seeking more of God. And as a result of that, they end up sharing what God is doing in their life. And when we hear that, that kind of gives us a little shot of adrenaline, right?
Amen.
So it's all good stuff. Know this, seek him and he will be within you. Abide in me and I will abide in you, he tells us, right? And when we have more of the light in us, there's less darkness.
Amen.
Hey, good topic, brother. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to exalt you. We want to praise you this day. And Lord, I pray for the brothers that are listening that you would give them courage and strength in you, Lord God, that they would not fear the world, because if God is for them, who could possibly be against them? So I lift them up to you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.